John Breaker One. This is Shark Pants Free Radio. Gamers, get your ears on because we're blowing the speakers out.
Grimdark Live. Weekly webcast for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Warhammer worlds. Don't miss our live show on Thursdays, but for now, you've got us on sloppy seconds with our podcast with the Grimdark Gang. It's time once again for Grimdark Live.
Hey, welcome to Grimdark Live, your weekly webcast for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Warhammer worlds. I'm your host, Patrick, and that's all you got tonight. I'm flying the ship solo tonight. My compadre, my co-host, Steve, is out of pocket, and he might not be joining us. But don't worry about that, folks. I'm going to need your help and maybe try to find him. We'll get to that. Well, you know, we got a good show tonight. We got a lot of stuff in the news we're going to be going through. We've got the Rumor Engine. We've got Armed Forces Day we're going to be talking about. We got the Lumineth Realm Lords back in the news. We're going to be touching on the Hammer Elves. But, folks, we're also going to be taking a deep dive into the Seraphon for what we know to date. We're going to be looking at the upcoming release for the pre-order and then go right into what I feel will be a hearty topic on the new Lizardmen, the Seraphon. And if you guys remember back on our show about a month ago on February 6th, I believe it was, we had kind of done the preamble, the talk on what the Seraphon were and what they could have been coming off the drop of LVO. But with more information, we've got more to talk about here on Grimdark Live. But folks, as you have heard, Steve is not going to be with us this evening, potentially. And good old Uncle Grimdark would like your help in finding out where Steve has been. Would you help the Grimdark Nation find our beloved co-host? Would you help us? So, because here on Grimdark Live, I know I can count on all of you awesome Grimdark listeners in helping to find our beloved Steve. So, here's how you can help. In the comments of this very show, until next week's show, I'd like you, our awesome listeners, to tell me where Steve is. Yes, that's right, a bit of a contest where the best tale of where Steve went to could win. And on next week's show, when Steve is back, and I've picked the best comments from this particular show in the show notes down below of where Steve is and where he's been, on that next week's show, Steve will have to explain where he's been based off of your comments down below. So please be creative, imaginative, and if need be, even embellish. We want Steve to have to explain where he's been. And as always, we've got the question of the day and the closing thought towards the end of the show.
Hey, you Grimdark goons. Thank you all so much for listening to our Grimdark Live podcast. If you're new to the Grimdark Live experience or new to our podcast and like what you hear, please follow this podcast and pass us along to your friends. Let us know what you think about Grimdark Live in the show's comment sections, and let us know just how we're doing. Also, don't forget to catch us live on Thursdays. And if that ain't enough for you, check out our website at www.grimdarklive.com. That's grimdarklive.com. Anyway, thanks for listening, following, and just being awesome.
So I think we're going to jump right into this, folks. We are going to jump right in and start getting on with the news. So right off the bat in the news, we have the something we haven't done in a while, and that's the rumor engine that I'm going to be putting up here on the screen. Of course, for you folks that are joining us on the podcast, obviously you're not going to be able to see this, and we do apologize for that. But hey, you know, come on over to YouTube and get your nerd on with us here. But here is what I wanted to kind of show everybody. And again, we haven't gotten to these in a while here in Grimdark Live, but I thought this was interesting to me. It could maybe be the release for a particular Chaos Army that could be tied into a particular AOS story arc, and in indirect tie, I guess you could say, into the new Lumineth Realm Lords, Teclis, you know. Could this be something to do with the god of excess, maybe Slaanesh? Now, take a second and really kind of look at this this picture here. And you're going to notice that the arms on this little cauldron, I guess the best way to put it, are very similar to the doohickey on the back of Seleska's back. That's that Master Blaster-looking chaos guy right here. And interestingly enough, you can see these little satanic horseshoe, I guess, that this little ballerina is this demon ballerina is standing off of. But if you look at Seleska's back, you can kind of see that little doohickey that I'm talking about. And if you look at what I'm saying here, take a look at some of the similarities here, if you can see this. So if you look over here to, you know, the little right little arm on the cauldron, and then of course look at the same one over there, you can definitely see the similarities there. It even has some details of the Cauldron of Blood, I think, which is fitting as to the origins, I guess, of the Daughters of Cain. You know, they're all from Slaanesh's belly. I guess I would be interested if this could be maybe a static piece for the upcoming Daughters of Cain Warcry Warband that could grant them, I guess, you know, maybe some kind of a buff or something like that. That would be kind of cool. That would be kind of interesting, I think. Maybe give that warband some hexes or something like that. How about maybe Witch Elf Underworld's gang, perhaps? I can see them lugging around a mini Cauldron of Blood there. But let's veer away from the Daughters of Cain for a minute and go back to something I want to show you on this little cauldron. I think this is Slaanesh. And I'm going to go back to that, folks. And this is why I think this is. I'm pretty sure if you look here, what I've circled there, the face on the left is a Stormcast mask. Also, I guess, you know, stating the obvious here regarding the Daughters of Cain and Stormcast, those factions are, you know, I guess, relatively speaking, on the same side. So my call is definitely Slaanesh for this one. That's my final answer in the news. So let me know what you guys think. I mean, we got the Warhammer Rumor Engine here. We don't normally do this on the show much anymore, but I kind of wanted to show this because I think we kind of saw some similarities here that were kind of interesting. So I wanted to get you guys interested in that. But moving on to our next topic here with the news is we have the Lumineth Realm Lords. And you know, it's funny. This yet to be released army really has kept me intrigued, and there has been some new developments that I think we need to address. So, and what I'm actually speaking of is there's been speculation that is I guess continues to revolve around the Lumineth Realm Lords, and recently there has been some chatter that I guess that has emerged, I guess the best way to put it, which appears to have spotted something cool in the artwork that accompanied the recent Lumineth presentation article from GW. And take a good look at the pic here, especially the upper right-hand corner that I'm kind of showing you right now. Now, I'd like to present this pic here. I think you all kind of all know what this is here. This is also of another Rumor Engine piece from a few weeks ago, and I think it was a few weeks ago. Anyway, it clearly shows a hammer in question that appears to be, you know, part of this GW release in the artwork. It looks like a Lumineth warrior wielding a hammer in the artwork. The weapon from the Rumor Engine looks very similar to me to the one in the article piece. Now, if we were to take another side-by-side look here, if you look at the top right hand, I don't know if you can see this, and folks, if the screen here is not allowing you to do that, get a hold of the Warhammer community page and go on there and take a look at it. But I can clearly see it here. Now let's take a closer look at the picture, this picture here to the left that I'm showing you, this piece here from GW. Now there you go, you can actually get a better view and actually see the hammer. Now before we move on to the next topic here in the news, I wanted to round out this conversation with my thoughts on this mystery hammer, I guess the best way to put it. At first glance, it looks like, you know, a Warhammer typical elven design. The gemstones on what appears to be the hammer's upper handle and the formal metalwork, I guess, which is, I guess, attached to the hammer's head, looks elven enough, although I'd have to say I find it a bit strange that an elf would have a hammer. That's a dwarf or a Stormcast thing. I mean, right? I mean, traditionally, an elf weaponry would be spears, axes, swords, and lances, but not hammers. Another thing that strikes me as unusual about this warhammer is that it appears to be formed from some strange material. It looks like it could be of some form of non-metallic type substances. I'm guessing it's not. It just looks based off of, not necessarily off this rumor engine, but off of some of the other artwork. It doesn't look metallic to me. And it also appears maybe that the head here could be some type of stone or a marble material. It may not even be a weapon at all, but it more of an ornate magical type item, which that would make sense as far as elves are concerned. But regardless, I find it strange that an elf would wield a hammer a la like a dwarf. But then again, you know, dwarves do tend to carry axes just like the old world white lions, which in an off-show conversation with Steve, and by the way, folks, do not forget to let me remind you, please send in your comments of where you think Steve has been, and on next week's show, he'll have to explain himself. But on an off-show conversation with Steve, he had mentioned that this might be the new introduction to the formerly known white lions. It makes sense that GW wouldn't want to reintroduce them, the White Lions, because that would be going backwards in a sense. So maybe this is the new type of White Lion, updated like type unit, maybe. And they're going to be holding hammers instead of axes. My final analysis on this thing is that I think the Lumineth Realm Lord's Warhammer perhaps is going to belong to some type of hero or unit champion. And I got to tend to agree with Steve a little bit that these are probably going to be something to the effect of White Lions, perhaps. So that's what we have in the news on that second story. But moving on is, of course, our coverage that we keep talking about every week, and that's on the Armed Forces Day tournament. That's going to be coming up in May the 16th. And I'd like to reshare this with all of you again because... as you know, this is going to be our third year for this 100% charity event to support our active duty troops. Armed Forces Day tournament is again going to be held May 16th and 17th, and you can head over to grimdarklive.com to check out the information on this tournament. Armed Forces Day 2020 is going to be a two-day Age of Sigmar event where each player is going to bring 2,000-point army comprised from the most recent General's Handbook and AOS rule set. This event will be a 1v1, five-game, two-day tournament to provide donations to our active duty troops while celebrating Armed Forces Day, a national holiday to honor those active duty troops. Also, we are going to be helping to raise money for the Montford Point Marine Association Chapter 2. There will also be a separate raffle to support this historic Southside Montford Point Marine Chapter. You know, after a half a century of being home to the first African-American Marines who settled in Chicago after the war in 1946, the chapter faces looming debt with the potential for closure. And of course, Armed Forces Day wouldn't be possible without our supporters of GameStorm Games, Frag Factory 3D Printing, and Ministomp.com. And we're also working with some other outstanding vendors and companies that are going to throw their hat in the ring and be a supporter of this this great, great tournament. And if you'd like to help support Armed Forces Day 2020, either as a player or somebody that will help with prize support, you can contact us through our website at grimdarklive.com, or you can get a hold of me at nobblerg@gmail.com.
A public service announcement brought to you by Frag Factory 3D Printing. Many of us have thousands of dollars in miniatures, yet we play on flat tables with books and overturned Tupperware to act as our fantasy and sci-fi landscapes. We've all drooled over the tables we see in magazines, lush with beautifully created terrain from all genres. The crew at Frag Factory 3D Printing want to wipe that drool from your chin and put it firmly on your friends and fellow gamers when they see your setup. Alien landscapes, desert wastelands, futuristic cities, fantasy outposts, elven forests, demonic stronghold, and so much more. Find out what you've been missing by checking us out on Facebook at Frag Factory 3D Printing or send us an email at fragfactory3dprinting@gmail.com. Bring your own files or we will help you find what you've been searching for. Take your gaming to the next level with Frag Factory 3D Printing. We print life into your games. Tell them Grimdark Live sent you, and your first hour of printing is free.
gang, in all seriousness, get your terrain on the table and get it with Frag Factory 3D Printing. And remember, tell them Grimdark Live sent you, and they'll give you 1 hour free. You can get them via email at fragfactory3dprinting@gmail.com or their Facebook page, Frag Factory 3D Printing.
Frag Factory 3D Printing, printing life into your games.
Now, back to the show. So, moving on, and that's everything that we have in the news. Kind of short and sweet, because the big topic that I think that we are going to be getting into here on tonight's show is definitely going to be the Seraphon. I think there is a lot to discuss there with this army. So, folks, I think without further ado, I think it's probably best that we get right going with this. So, as I said, the big part of this news this week here on Grimdark Live is, of course, the Seraphon release that we've been hearing about. And if you guys recall, back in February the 6th, we did talk about this release when it first dropped from Nova 2020. And the at that time there wasn't a lot that was known about the Seraphon. There was some speculation, and of course, you know, the Seraphon, ironically enough, up until that point had a very good showing. You know, they were not a slouch, you know, type army, I guess is the best way to put it. And I think a lot of people are looking forward to this, and I dare say I think a lot of people are looking more forward to this than I had given it credit for, if you want to know the truth. So if you want to go back and listen to that that show, that was our February 6th show, where you can hear our last big talk on the Seraphon, and you know, pick up some more information that we're going to be going through here on the show. But from the earliest days of Warhammer Age of Sigmar, the Seraphon have been a massively popular faction. They were even one of the first to get a battle tome in AOS. And tonight, we're going to be covering what we currently know about the allegiance abilities, the sub-factions, the rules, and more that I guess you'd come to be expecting from a modern Age of Sigmar army. And what we do know is that the new battle tome, you're going to be able to pre-order this weekend. It's going to fully explore all the origins and the nature of the Seraphon in the Mortal Realms. So if you remember from our previous talk on the Seraphon, they became the celestially charged Starborn, and how the Seraphon were also changed into the Coalesced and will no longer take the demon keyword, which I think is a pretty big deal. If we take a brief look at the cover here of the battle tome, and I'd like to actually pull this up for everybody right now to kind of understand what I'm talking about here. If we take a look at that the battle tome, we can see Skinks, Carnosaur, Aslan. Unfortunately, from what we know at this point, there's going to be no new sculpts that are revealed here, but we might see more from these Lizardmen just yet. Now, I'm wondering if we're going to see any new endless spells for these new Starborn. I mean, I know they have a terrain piece, and we're going to be getting to that here in a minute. They are pretty good at casting spells, after all, so I would expect there'd be something, I would hope. They did get a pretty awesome terrain piece called the Realm Shaper Engine. I don't know if you guys have seen what this sucker looks like, but it's actually pretty cool. And I'm pulling this up here now for everyone to take a look at. So to rehash, we are able to pre-order the new Seraphon Battle Tome, a new set of terrain, and more this Saturday. But I could be wrong on that. I think it's just the battle tome that we're going to be able to pre-order. So let's start with the terrain piece. Funny enough, guys, this thing here is called the Ziggurat. A fun fact about the Ziggurat, this in real life, this pyramid-like stepped temple tower that is in the, that it's actually an architectural and religious structure characteristic of the major cities of Mesopotamia, now mainly Iraq, from approximately 2200 to 500 BC. A lot of folks also compare the Seraphon to the Aztecs, which is fair, albeit both temples used by both cultures were called ziggurats, and they're very similar. This GW design is more closely related to the ancient Mesopotamian sculpt. Little FYI, and I guess they do have some Aztec stuff on there too, but I think they kind of melded them together. But I think it's a little bit heavier on the Mesopotamian side. If you notice, the top of the pyramid has this floating orb of electric type power, and you can see the crackling arcs of energy with a ring of carved stone. GW has stated that each side of this piece is reversible, so you can choose to build it in what they say is, I guess, two different looks, as a new and clean, brand new ziggurat, or one that has begun the process of displaying the jungle, like the jungle is taking it over and all the vines and everything are beginning to wrap around the structure. And being that this is a terrain piece, you can garrison this pyramid with your Seraphon. And though through some mechanics, a wizard or a priest is also able to activate the pyramid. Now, we don't know a lot about this, but what we do know is that the surrounding terrain features turn into a violent and deadly type terrain pieces. And from the priest or the wizard, the mage, activating it from this singular temple. And it sounds like a terrain piece and an endless spell kind of all rolled up into one, I guess, if you want to think about it that way. But going back to the battle tome, I know that this thing is going to fully explore the origins and nature of the Seraphon in the Mortal Realms, and as they stand in the game with obviously some new mechanics that we're going to be getting into here in a minute, I think this is definitely an upgrade. I'm pretty quick to try to give my honest opinion with these battle tomes when they first came out, and I think I'm pretty comfortable in my resolve here that I think the Seraphon may have gotten quite a boost. As a matter of fact, I think to better understand the Seraphon in this new battle tome, here in a bit, we're going to be taking a look back at where they came from in the world that was, up to what we know of this new battle tome. But let's move on to the new releases. I think that's going to be something that I think a lot of people are going to want to get into. So the skink-based start collecting box for the pre-order, it looks to contain 17 miniatures, one skink star seer, 12 skinks, 3 ripper dactyl riders, or I guess razordons if you want to build them that way, and 1 bastillodon. Personally, I'm a little surprised, I guess, that this isn't a stegodon. I think for my own 2 cents in a tin can, I would think that a stegodon would, I think, be better. And this is why I'm saying this. It's 80 points less than the bastillodon and what we know of the now current points. And the stegodon buffs skinks. It would fit better in the starter, I would think. And the stegodon isn't too shabby in combat itself. In this skink build, the stegodon seems more fit for range combat with all the range attacks it gets. And unlike the bastillodon, however, it can defend itself in combat a decent amount. And we're going to get into some of those buffs and really what they've done here to the stegodon, because I think you're going to be pretty happy. And I'm sure what you've already heard, but we're going to try to back that up here a little bit. The bastillodon is more of an all-around ranged monster in comparison, albeit a crazy tank monster that ignores rend, that can even ignore mortal wounds. So I do like it, but the stegodon does seem to fit better with the skinks. But earlier today, we got a closer look at the stegodon via the Warhammer community page, and GW is calling this reinvention of the in-game concept, namely the concept about the maximum number of stegodons in a Warhammer Age of Sigmar army. And to quote GW, they're basically saying, "Get ready for 2,000 points of hell sent from the heavens above." Now, the one thing I can't figure out is, in this freaking start collecting box, why isn't the stegodon in the start collecting box? They got the bastillodon in there, but again, that's just my 2 cents in the tin can trying to think about this, because I would think that the stegodon fits better with the skinks. The build 2 they do have a Stegodon. To have that in your army is via the subfaction called the Coalesced Thunder Lizard Army. This is several benefits, and you're going to get some additional abilities on your attacks. You're going to get the Grinding Jaws attack. You're also going to get your monsters are going to be far more durable. And crucially, you're going to be able to unlock Stegodons as battle line. So here we are back to having Behemoths as battle line, a la Stonehorns and Thundertusks. This role changes from their subfaction. You will fill out your essential battle line slots with Stegodons. And at the same time, you're not going to eat up any of your Behemoth slots, a la, again, like Stonehorn and Thundertusks. And it's funny because my mention of the Stonehorn and Thundertusks brings back to mind, in my opinion, the Seraphon are really quite a unique faction in Age of Sigmar. At the first glance, one would, you know, perhaps think that these reptilian creatures belong to more of a Destruction Grand Alliance, a la even like the Beastclaw Raiders. They fight more like Destruction. But folks, I apologize. I'm kind of digressing here. But sticking with the Stegodon here, GW unveiled one method to build the Stegodon force, and they called it the Gout of Sunfire. I don't know if you guys have been seeing this, but I thought I'd show it to you here. And they paralleled it with the Sunfire Throwers for burning through hordes. And basically what this Gout of Sunfire reads is, do not use the attack sequence for an attack made with Sunfire Throwers. Instead, roll a number of dice equal to the number of models from the target unit within 8 inches of the attacking model. For each 5+, the target unit suffers 1 mortal wounds. And those Seraphon players can really take a deep breath. They can take some relief in the fact that all of those horde units, you know, the Chaos Marauders, the Horrors of Zeech, the Plague Monks, and, you know, I even dare say my beloved Nobblers, they're all going to literally just melt away with this, basically this magical flamethrower of, you know, lizard dealt death, I guess is the best way to put it. I guess what I'm going to throw this back up here again, folks, anyone still able to answer why the Stegodon isn't in the damn Get Started box? I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on this one. There's also a build for the Stegodon with your Skink Chief. Yeah, you're going to be able to put your Skink on a Stegodon. Skink Chief, Stegodon. We'll have the leader keyword. So now start thinking, folks, Huskered on a Thundertusk, but better. And we're going to get to that. You're going to have a new command ability with this type of build called the Coordinated Strike. And this, quite simply, is you can use this command ability at the start of your combat phase. If you do so, pick one friendly Skink unit wholly within 24 inches of a friendly Stegodon hero with this command ability. Until the end of that phase, add 1 to the attack's characteristic of the melee weapons used by that Skink unit. A unit cannot benefit from this command ability more than once per phase. Something to keep in mind here too, Stegodons all have the Skink keyword, meaning they benefit from this. As this artifact right here, I guess not artifact, but this ability, this will affect all your melee weapons. I think you should let that sink in here. Stegodons, by their own design and build, can also have the Engines of the Gods mounted on them. Now, for you folks that are just kind of getting caught up with what this is something that has been passed through the age of time in the game, and Engines of God unleash all sorts of mental magical powers every single turn. And with that said, GW has introduced the Cosmic Engine, and I kind of want to bring this up to share with this you guys here too. You know, without a Slann nearby, you're going to generally be getting about 4 to 8 results on 2d6, which provides healing to nearby units. So remember what I said earlier. Now, like a Huskered and a Thundertusk, you're healing friendly like-type units. I mean, just absolutely cool. So I guess, you know, I'm going to go back to my main question here. Somebody want to answer me why the Stegodon is not in the Get Started box. I kind of see this as the one failure point so far in the Army. Hey gang, I wanted to take a break in today's show to introduce one of our sponsors and a great store for all of your hobby needs. That's Game Storm Gaming in Lamont, Illinois. Open 7 days a week, 12 to 12.
Game Storm Gaming has got you covered for all of your hobby and gaming needs. They got Magic the Gathering, War Machine, X-Wing, Game of Thrones, Force of Will card game, PC gaming and repair, Warhammer 40K, and Age of Sigmar, and a ton more. Grab paints, brushes, cases, dice, and a lot more at Game Storm Gaming in Lamont, Illinois.
Stop in and see John and the gang there at Game Storm Gaming, located at 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois, or check them out on their website at GameStormGaming.com. Again, that's www.GameStormGaming.com.
They also stay open past midnight for special cases and events, so get over there and get your nerd on with Game Storm Gaming, 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois, 630-243-9330. Again, that's Game Storm Gaming, 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois.
Game Storm Gaming is a proud sponsor of Grimdark Live. We hope to see you there. But we're going to try to remedy that as we keep going here. So I guess this is where we find out the why the Stegodon isn't in the starter. Because the Bastilodon, you know, I know I've been kind of poo-pooing him here a little bit. He actually has a pretty darn good use as well. The Bastilodon are basically invincible. And this big bastard has a laser, hence my earlier comment that they're better suited for long range. The Stegodon will now have the, I think it's called the Thunder Lizard's Trove of Old Technology Command Ability. And this command ability is actually kind of cool, and you can use this command ability at the end of your shooting phase. If you do so, pick one friendly Thunder Lizard Bastilodon or friendly Thunder Lizard Engine of the Gods that is wholly within 18 inches of a friendly Thunder Lizard hero. If that unit is a Bastilodon, it can shoot with its solar engine even if it has already done so in that phase. If that unit is an Engine of the Gods, you can make a cosmic engine roll for it even if you have already done so in that phase. A unit cannot benefit from this command ability more than once per phase. But honestly, folks, I still think the Stegodon should be in the Get Started box. I mean, I think we need to start a campaign here and get some letters out to GW. I don't know. I still can't figure that out. I like the Bastilodon, but the Stegodon just seems to be where it's at. But folks, remember to order your copy of the Battle Tome Seraphon this weekend, and let us know how you feel about the comments you know on this army, and leave that in the show notes below. Boy, I had a hard time saying that. You know, how do you feel about the new lore? You know, leave that in the comments section down below. And if you're listening later on in our podcast, the comments there. But let's also kind of take kind of a step back and maybe even kind of reset here, because I'd like to take a little bit of a deeper dive into the Seraphon now that we know what's coming for the pre-order and some of the newer information. When building a Seraphon army, you're going to start by choosing between, I guess the best way to put it is, you know, your multiple choices of units. But you say, okay, well, what is that? It starts here. You've got your choices between the Savage Coalesced and the Mysterious Starborn. Basically, the differences between the Coalesced and the Starborn are the Coalesced have corporal bodies, physical form, most likely born from the spawning pools. The Starborn are more of what we have known of the Seraphon, like demons. Even though they lost this keyword, Starborn are basically immaterial matter that exists at the behest of their slan. So still very much like a demon. Starborn forces represent what they're calling the Azrite Seraphon. Apparently, these are going to be extremely mobile and can summon new reinforcements to the battlefield. It looks like they excel at objective-based type of play. And the ability that they have is something called the Lords of Space and Time. And I guess they're saying this is their signature ability. And this is going to let you deliver key units to wherever they're most needed. Now, that's the interesting thing about this. I want to kind of play on that keyword. To wherever they're most needed. Their second ability is something called the Unfeeling. A rule that gives all of your units a bravery characteristic of 10. Now, this draws back to their old bravery of 10 when they had the demon keyword. They're not going to have the demon keyword anymore, but it looks like with this Unfeeling, the Starborn are going to have the Starborn forces are going to have that bravery of 10. Now, the coalesced armies in the Seraphon line represent a more savage, I guess, terrestrial Seraphon that have made their home in the mortal realms. I guess these would be the Seraphon spawned from the pools. And predatory fighters is back, I guess is the best way to put it. It's an extra attack with any jaw-based weapons that you're using. And a defensive boost is also back in the form of scaly skin. Now, this is something that kind of, if I can kind of take a break here in my description of what we can expect with Seraphon, you know, back in the day, they brought this back, and scaly skin has been something that has been kind of traveled through the game all the way back from Warhammer Fantasy Battles. And back in the day, the Beasts of Chaos had something called Gnarled Hide, which was very similar to this this scaly skin. And I think the Gnarled Hide ability should have been something that the Beasts of Chaos were able to, have at one time, or have in this Age of Sigmar game, and they didn't. A lot of things like Trogoths, larger units have ward saves. I think scaly skin would have definitely have benefited.
What are you up to?
Uh-oh, folks. Did we find Steve? Here we are, folks, in the middle of our Seraphon conversation, and this louse musters in from the bar. Did they throw you out again?
What are you up to? I get a text message. You think I'm stupid? You think I'm going to let you do this show on your own without having some spies keeping an eye on you?
You know what?
I get a text message that says you're up to something. What are you up to? I cannot leave this guy alone for 5 minutes. Listen, without him getting himself into trouble. What are you up to?
I merely implored to the listeners that I was worried about you. A lot of the other listeners were very worried about you too, Steve. You just up and disappeared. You know, we checked all the brothels, the bars, the strip clubs. We checked the halfway house, the soup kitchen.
Stop.
We couldn't find you anywhere. And, you know, we heard faint screaming on the streets, and we knew that you were out there somewhere. So I just merely asked the listeners to help describe where you could have been.
This is what happens. I can't leave you alone for 5 minutes without you doing something, without you being up to something.
Well, you know what? It's all because we worry about you. You know, the whole Grimdark family worries about you.
You knew exactly where I was, you degenerate.
I didn't.
Now,
I
what
didn't,
are you talking now, about? How much trouble have you gotten yourself into on this show?
There's no way that you could have been at the methadone clinic. It closed 2 hours ago.
Will you stop?
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the Grimdark Live experience and the show. If you want to support the show, please like and subscribe on YouTube and follow us on our podcast. This way, you'll be alerted when we post new content. If you'd like to support Grimdark Live further, head over to grimdarklive.com, get a t-shirt, dice, or there's Patreon, which makes our show possible. Keeps our mics on and the lights buzzing. Big thanks to everyone, past, present, and future, who have supported Grimdark Live. We do this because of all of you, and of course, we will continue doing this for as long as we can. Okay, you guys ready for more Grimdark Live? Let's get back to the show. All right, well, Steve, welcome back to the show. But folks, what I'd like to kind of present to everyone is, what I'd like you to do is please let us know where Steve has been anyways. Please leave that in the comments section of the show. And next week, we're going to have Steve fully explain his misgivings and his absence and his tardiness here on Grimdark Live.
I can't leave you alone for 5 minutes without you getting into some kind of trouble.
Can we go back to the Seraphon now, please?
Yes, let's get back to the Seraphon.
I gotta think you're embarrassing everyone here on the show. So
you're embarrassing yourself every time you open your mouth. Now let's go.
So let's go back to this. Let's take a step back here, folks, since we were so rudely interrupted. So, Steve, what we're talking about here is the Seraphon. We're anticipating this new deliverable, and we're at the point now we're discussing the coalesced armies that really represent the more savage and terrestrial Seraphon that have made their home here in the mortal realms. And these guys are going to be the predatory fighters. Now, this ability is back. And also, they brought back Scaly Skin. And I was kind of lamenting a little bit that I was a little upset that they brought back Scaly Skin, which is something that has traveled back through the Warhammer Fantasy Battle days, but yet my beloved Beastie Boys didn't get their gnarled hide. So, you know, I guess, you know, you can't have it all. But, so yeah, Scaly Skin, folks, is back. Now, as far as the Coalesced are concerned, I mean, let me before I go any further, Steve, how excited are you for the Seraphon release?
Love it. And I think that it is high time that they get the makeover that they need.
Right.
I agree. It's probably going to be a Band-Aid book. It's not, I mean, we're not going to see like major changes in terms of, you know, the way the army fights. They still have the movement tricks, but I think it's obvious that they're going in a completely different direction with the way you can comprise this army. The Coalesced,
okay,
the Starborn,
yeah, right,
the dinosaurs being their own faction now, in a sense that they can now, you know, have, and you can have an entire army now of Stegodons.
Yeah, well, you know, we just had one of our listeners just kind of chime in. I guess I was a little outside of the information on here. That looks like apparently the rumor is they're going to be coming out with a Get Started box of all Stegodons.
I love it.
So,
and
I do,
as well they should, because this is going to be a great army for kids. Because, as we know, all kids love dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs and laser guns, man.
Yeah, dinosaurs and laser guns. I mean, we love this stuff. And, yeah, I think that this is going to be a great starter army. I think that people are going to love playing all dinosaurs. It's what every Lizardmen player has wanted to do since Lizardmen were released.
Right. Yeah, and so let's kind of go back here and kind of take this a step back. Because, you know, let's talk about the Stegodons here. You know, we're kind of moving on here, folks, from the ability, because I really don't know why. I'm pulling up here a pick of, again, the Get Started. And, you know, Stegodons really do a lot for skinks. They buff skinks quite a bit. They work well with them. And granted, having a bunch of big stompy monsters as your behemoth, that's kind of the new hotness with a lot of these games, a la it started with the Beast Claw Raiders. But, or Ogre Maw Tribe, Beast Claw Raider faction. But I think it's funny that well, they're going to come out with the Get Started box. And I'm happy to hear that they're going to be coming out with the Stegodon Get Started. I haven't seen anything on that, but I'm happy. So that might have been a new development prior to just right before the show, or maybe I just completely fell asleep at the wheel. But I am happy to see that.
Yeah, they've got a couple new starter sets coming out. They have one for Daughters. They have one for Gloomspite Gits.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to have one for the Lizards to release with the book and, of course, the War Scroll cards.
Okay.
Very disappointed, though, we're not getting dice.
Well, you know what? You know what? I think the Ogre dice, the Squig dice, we've had a few failures. You know, I mean, you know, I'm okay with taking a break on the dice, if you ask me. But, you know, Steve, let's keep. And Steve, buddy, welcome back to the show, man. I'm glad you're here.
You will never be left alone again.
I was getting a little scared, man. You know, it's kind of dark. Anyway, moving on. So let's so folks, picking up where we left off here, we got the Coalesced and we got the Starborn. Those are the two sub factions, I guess, in this army, or the family groups, if you want to call it that way. And regardless of which you select, Coalesced, Starborn, there are going to be two abilities to choose from, and I'd like to kind of talk about those tonight that I think is going to be important for everyone to kind of understand. The first one that we're going to be talking about is Contemplations of the Ancient Ones. This one lets your Slann change their spell mid-battle.
Devastating.
Yeah, and it's going to allow you
absolutely devastating.
Yeah, and it's going to allow you to tailor your strategy for your opponents. I mean, this right here, this is why in the beginning of the show, folks, I said I'm usually very open and honest with my feelings on when a new army comes out. I gave you my 2 cents in a tin can with the Ogre Maw Tribes, the Magakin and Nurgle, the Slaves of Darkness, the Daughters of Cain. I mean, you name it. This one, I have a very positive feeling about. I definitely think the Seraphon are getting a leg up in the game. And this right here proves it. Because this is only one of two that are extremely powerful. Steve, you ready for the next one?
Let's go.
The second one is called Sacred Astrums. And this one is going to let you choose from three potential benefits for your army or specific units. And the Hunter's Steed, for instance, is one of them. And this, realistically, just real quick, for instance, it adds one to the run rolls. So now we're back to that speed kills. Now your Seraphon, not only are they going to be summoning, but they're going to be moving across the table a little bit faster than they normally do. And both the Coalesced and the Starborn armies can be further customized. I guess that's the best way to put it, with a choice of sub-factions for each. Now, have you heard about these three sub-factions, Steve?
I saw them in the article, yes.
Okay. Well, we're gonna like I said, we're taking a little bit of a deep dive into these things because there are three sub-factions and each has an ability, a command trait, and an artifact with some, I guess, also having command abilities, I believe is what they said. Sure. The first one that we're going to throw up there is the Dracothian Tail. This is based on board control, plain and simple. Reserve units with, I guess, an ambush type feel. This could give you a great opportunity for control of the battlefield. So let's really kind of look at this in compilation with the Contemplations of the Ancient Ones and the Hunter's Steed. You know, when you have something like this tied in with all these subparts, you're building on something that is going to be really tough to beat on the battlefield. Because for a long time, and I don't care if it's this edition, and Steve, you got to back me up on this one. Perhaps one of the biggest strengths of the Seraphon, and one of the, one that enables, I'm going to change my wording here a little bit, one that enables them to compete effectively on the tabletop has always been their summoning and board control. And yes. I think this sub-faction kicks that up quite a few notches. Wait a minute. What the hell is that? What's going on?
And now, it's time for that part of the show where we present the rules from hell.
Yes, that's right, Grimdark Goons. It's time for the rules from hell, where we present the game rules from the past or present of the Warhammer worlds that just sucked.
Here it is, gang. The Warhammer rule from hell. Let's face it. Sometimes we, the players, are the hell to the rules. So listen up here, you short pants little demons. We're pointing our fingers right back at you for getting those rules wrong and making these rules hell on the tabletop. Battleshock Bravery Modifiers. This one I see messed up quite often. You see, you can add +1 to your bravery for every 10 models in the unit at the time of the Battleshock test. I constantly see this rule missed entirely, or they go by how many models were in the unit at the start of the turn. That's also a no-no. This was definitely a rule from hell.
And now you know a rule from hell.
All right, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I would say that this is going any army that has the ability to move their models around the battlefield is going to control the battlefield.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going to be kind of a
common sense.
Right, exactly, Steve. You're absolutely right. But that's the first of three sub-factions here with this army. The second one is called Fangs of Sotek. You know, these aren't quite as good as Auric or Nurgle names here, but they're close. They're really close.
Yeah, Sotek's a very old name among the Lizardmen players. They know that name well. That's the Serpent God.
All right. Can you give us any more background on it?
Sure. The Serpent God just basic. Sotek is just basically Quetzalcoatl in the ancient Aztec culture. He's this serpent god that the skinks particularly worship. And he always has, his troops have always been marked with the color of red. And we used to joke years ago that that was basically the corn faction for lizard men.
I love it.
Yeah. And everything with them was blood sacrifice.
Well, very, very Aztec related, you know. But let me kind of park the bus here. You know, have you been? Did you see the new pictures of their terrain piece that they had?
Oh, absolutely, it's phenomenal,
folks. I gotta kind of go back here a little bit and kind of pull this up here again. I was just explaining earlier in the show before you jumped on the aesthetics of this. Now I know that obviously when you're looking at this, the architectural, you've got some Aztec ruins, but the actual name of this is a ziggurat. And this particular build in real life, this pyramid like temple tower, is actually not only is it architectural for defensive purposes in real life, but it was a religious structure. And it was this build, this design here, was more characteristic of the major cities of Mesopotamia, which, you know, as I said before, is now modern day Iraq. And the interesting thing about it is obviously with the snakes they have on it and all that kind of stuff is more of the Aztec type, but
yeah, Amazon kind of feel. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought I'd just throw that back up there again. I thought it was kind of interesting because a lot of people have automatically associated the Seraphon with the Aztecs, of course, because we're North America. We got Mexico just south of us. And so that's what we've always kind of looked at. But going back to the fangs of Sotek. So thank you, Steve. That was kind of a good walk down memory lane there.
Sure.
So the Fangs of Sotek would be perfect for any army that really loves skinks. So I think this is going to be perfect for the Get Started box, at least the one with the Bastillodon and all the skinks, because yep. I think adding this where you're going to get an additional 3-inch move to all the Fangs of Sotek units, I think that's going to be a good launching off point for the mechanics, for new players, and maybe even for some people that are coming back to the Seraphon. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. I think that you're going to have Lizardmen players, Seraphon players, pardon me, old habits die hard.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing it all night.
You will find that there are going to be adults that have the little kid in them come out and they want to play the dinosaurs, and that's fine. Then there's going to be people that are going to want to do a combination of all three. You're going to have people that want to play straight up Saurus. You're going to have people that want to play straight up Skinks. And all three of those armies are viable in this new book.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I've always enjoyed the Skinks, but we're going to keep moving on. We're going to get into that here in a little bit. So the third of the, I guess, sub-factions is the best way to put it, is Kotal's Claw. And I hope I'm saying that correct.
Kotal's Claw.
Yeah. This is built around your coalesced Sauruses, those units, and it can get you extra command points. Now, personally, as I've said many times, I'm a command point junkie, so I love this idea that I can take something that's going to give me command points, because command yep. points allow you to do or prevent you to do certain things in the game. And yep. I've always said
certain armies can't live without them.
Well, I've always said to me, command points are just as valuable as mortal wounds.
Yeah, I agree.
The ability to output them.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you have command abilities that are going to be changing the game because of those command points being spent.
Yeah.
So they're absolutely necessary. And so, like I said, in some armies, they're mandatory. You have to have multiples of them.
Right. Right. And I think this release was refreshing because the little dabbles that we've gotten with the Lumineth Realm Lords and other recent releases, to kind of see what they've done, they've really kind of shown their cards with this release. And I think they might have listened to the community a little bit. Some of the negative feedback they got on, say, the Ogre Maw Tribes book, or maybe the Corn Demon book. And that one, just I'm drawing a blank on that one right now.
Well, that would just be Blades of Corn, right?
Blades of Corn, yes, thank you. And I think GW finally listened, because the early feedback that I'm getting from people that have actually seen kind of the under the table copy of this book is it's fantastic. And some of the things that I've been able to see and talk to some of the people that actually have copies of the book that have been able to share their early release thoughts with me for the show, I can tell you right now that I'm thoroughly impressed. And I don't even have my sweaty palms on this book yet. But like always, I buy every book and I read them twice. And I'm definitely going to be getting this book. So, Steve, I mean, you've always kind of had interesting things to say about the Seraphon. You're usually very opinionated when it comes to this army or that army. But you're awfully, at times, kind of, you're reminiscently passionate about them, and, but also kind of neutral with them. I find that interesting. I mean, what are your actual thoughts on the Seraphon, Lizardmen, whatever you want to call them?
They have always been that obscure army that only a select few people play. So I guess I've always respected Seraphon players, because if you can have that much dedication to that army and stick with it, that impresses me. Anyone, actually, who can stick with an army for, like, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years. And this book is coming up with so many great things for people to try out and play, and different factions and sub-factions. I just think this book's going to be like Gloomspite gets. It's going to, there's going to be so many options for you to play that you're never going to get bored with this army if you were already a Seraphon player.
Yeah. You know, you kind of took the words out of my mouth, because I was actually going to say that I kind of felt that this had the same vibe, I thought, as, well, exactly what you just said. I kind of see that if we were to take, maybe the Orc War Clans and the Gloomspite, and maybe with a little bit of the Hedonites of Slaanesh book, and kind of mix them together, I think it would literally spit out the new Seraphon Battle Tome.
Yeah, woe to the player who underestimates this book.
No,
you will suffer because of it.
You know what's funny is I think this army already is powerful, because, you know. And folks, I'm going to kind of talk around in a situation here. But earlier this week, and Steve, you remember this, I shared with you something that I found on Twitter, and I didn't remember the guy's name, and I didn't want to search for it, and I couldn't reach out to him and ask him for permission. So I'll just talk about it. But somebody on Twitter had come up with a ranking of different armies, and they had ranked armies, you know, the best ones with the letter S and the second ones with the letter A. Do you remember this? I sent you this whole big chart.
Sure did. Yeah.
And it was really well done. But what I found interesting, I mean, very, very interesting, were Seraphon were in the upper part of the third category. Now, they were ahead of Nighthaunt, Maw Tribes, Hedonites of Slaanesh, Blades of Khorne, Slaves of Darkness, and Ogre, the Orc, the Orc War Clans. Now, if you think about that, all of those books, or all of those armies have books. And I just found that fascinating, that Seraphon, basically, you know, riding off the General's Handbook abilities, and a very old book, you know, it was one of the first armies to have a book in Age of Sigmar, was doing that well in comparison to, say, like Nighthaunt and Maw Tribes.
Yeah.
So I didn't have permission to ask for this, but you know, it was very well done, and I was gonna, you know, talk about it on the show tonight, but I said I couldn't remember who put it up, and I couldn't find their name to ask them for permission. But I just found it interesting that Seraphon right now are still doing that well, and they don't even have an update. I mean, when you look at other armies that are comparatively as old, you know, you take a look at, you know, the Maggotkin of Nurgle. You know, they're struggling a little bit. They're still good, but they're struggling. You know, I would say that Legions of Nagash is probably struggling.
It's a dead army.
You know, you think of these older...
No pun intended. It's literally a dead army. No one plays it anymore.
Yeah. And so, I'm really excited about the Seraphon and what we're going to be getting. And really, that's everything that I currently know about the upcoming release for the Seraphon. Everything I think I can speak competently to at this point anyway. I mean, Steve, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'm really, really hoping, just on a personal note, that they have some kind of a battalion for Kroxagors. I've always loved Kroxagors. They've always attracted... I mean, I've always loved the, you know, the big guys in any army. I always love rat ogres, Kroxagors, trolls, ogres, because I just think, to me, they're just more interesting to play.
Right.
I'm really hoping they do something with Croxagores, because they were always kind of like the enforcers of the Lizardmen army. Like,
yeah,
those are the guys that you sent in to smash up lines. They were the shock troops, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope they don't Bulgore them.
Well, the rules as they stand, oh my God, the rules as they stand for them right now are pretty good. I'm hoping they get them up to a damage three. I mean, yeah. I would take two attacks at damage three and then a bite. I mean, I'll take that any day of the week.
Your rock gut Tragos.
Yeah, I mean, the Tragos don't have a bite, but I mean, their attack is pretty strong as it is. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I could totally see Croxagores being like a shock troop, as they should be, instead of just, you know, damage two. Well, I'm great. I can get damage two out of a regular ogre bull.
Right.
A Croxagore is a big animal. It's as big as a troll.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I just got a listener that I am me. He asked me a question. Can you give me a little background on the Seraphon? So, okay, here it goes. I guess we were going to start wrap this up, but, you know, Steve, do you mind if I give a little bit of background to the Seraphon?
Sure.
So, and Steve, you stop me if I'm a little out of sorts here with this one, but here I go. So, prior to Age of Sigmar, the Seraphon were known simply as the Lizardmen. And they were a race of reptilian humanoids. They were created by some enigmatic old ones to rid the world of those races whose existence were deemed a detriment to the greater plan, right? It was a greater plan, wasn't it? Well, that's what it was called?
Yes, the old ones had a plan for the old world.
That's right.
And
that's right. And folks, ahead. We're talking about Warhammer Fantasy Battles. We're going to bring you up to Age of Sigmar here in a second.
And when the chaos gates, when the polar gates of chaos broke and chaos spilled into the old world, the old ones literally abandoned the old world and said, look, you know, we can't stay here. Chaos will overrun us. But what they did is they empowered their children, the Slann, and their children, the lizard men, to basically fight the good fight as long as they could. Which, of course, culminated with the end times when the world was destroyed and the lizard men literally went into their temples, which ended up being gigantic starships, and they left the old world.
Yeah.
And they floated off into space.
Yeah. So now, as we stand here now in our game, you know, back then, like now, the lizard men consisted of several sub-races, of which, you know, many are believed to be back in this updated edition. You know, the Saurus Warrior breed, the Skink Workforce, and the Mighty Croxagore, who you just heard Steve talk about, who served as really the Beast of Burden, and were also, you know, quite handy in a scrap, I guess, the best way to put it.
Oh, yeah.
The different Lizardmen entered the world via a spawning pool deep within the Lustrian jungles. They emerged fully formed and able to wage war and perform their preordained duties from the get-go, and were again reintroduced as the concept of the coalesced. So you can kind of see what GW is doing here, guys. They're bringing the concept of the spawning pools and everything back with the sub-faction known as the coalesced.
And they were virtually emotionless.
Exactly.
They were bred that way. They were bred to be this emotionless, robotic kind of fighter that would just go where the Slann told them to go and fight who they were told to fight.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And to kind of piggyback off of what Steve just said, the Lizardmen themselves back then are still just, you know, as Seraphon, servants to much greater powers, the Slann, and their old one masters. And maybe we'll get a better look into this relationship through the Starborn. And even now, not much is known about these, as I said before, these enigmatic old ones. They are, as far as I know, a race of super intelligent space-faring aliens that dramatically are diametrically opposed to chaos, and by whose hand, I guess, the best way to put it, much of the old world was shaped. So the old ones created everything.
They basically describe them in all the old lore books as just this benevolent race of aliens that came to the old world, settled it, And their goal was obviously just to create a world of peace and harmony. And that did not happen when the chaos gates broke and chaos spilled into the world. And then, like I said, but the Slann had the foresight to know that they couldn't fight this fight alone. So they trained all of the other races, the good races, the ones they could rely on, like the elves, to basically fight with them. So they trained them how to use magic. So all of the magic, all of the lores of magic come from the Slann. The Slann were the ones that took the winds of magic in the old 8th edition and showed everyone else how to use them.
Yeah, it's a fascinating backstory. So if anybody gets a chance, you know, you go into your local independent hobby store, most likely. I don't think any GW store is going to carry them anymore. And try to find an old 8th edition or 7th edition Warhammer Fantasy Battles Lizardman book and just read
just
it.
Oh, just eBay them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's funny?
Yeah,
all this,
eBay them. All the old books are still online.
Yeah, and definitely do it, folks. And you know, all this old lore talk and what's to come with the new Battle Tome, it makes me wonder if there isn't more to come beyond this new release on this army. You know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, is there going to be any type of endless spells? You know, are we going to get some new units? You know, it doesn't look that way, but
no.
I would sure like maybe, and like you were saying before, I'd like to see some new Kroxagors. I think those models need to be updated a little bit.
Oh, yeah, they're very dated and they're still fine cast, which two strikes right there.
Yeah, I think they are a little. They're a little outdated. I do agree. They got that kind of that
beautiful
very
models. The model design itself is perfect. Like the old metal, like the model design you see right now when it was in metal,
right,
was great.
Yeah.
But the problem is that we all know the horrors of dealing with fine cast. And
you said horrors, didn't you?
Will you stop?
Sorry.
And it's just not something that I would invest a lot of money in. I just wouldn't do it.
Right.
And that's sad because the Kroxagors are one of my favorite, you know, factions in the Lizardmen army.
Yeah. I mean, if they were Battleline or Battleline If, you'd play them, wouldn't you?
I would if they came out with new models. The current models, I would not waste my money on. I don't like the fine cast.
Okay.
It's just not anything that I'm into.
All right. So I guess to sum it all up here, folks, you know, I personally, and I think Steve would agree, I like the full circle that has occurred here with this new release. You know, when I look at the current state of the Seraphon in the game of Age of Sigmar, I can't help, I really can't help it and find it interesting, their whole story arc and based off of also what we've just pretty much talked about. If we look again back at the Lizardmen of 8th edition Warhammer Fantasy Battles, they were a race of mortal reptiles spawned via spawning pools into the world, like the present coalesced faction. Then in the beginning of Age of Sigmar, they're introduced as an army of demons with bravery 10 that were imagined into being by the mighty Slann Star Masters, like the present Starborn. You know, although I still have questions, you know, and like I'm something off right off the top of my head, Steve, that you and I've talked about quite a bit leading, you know, through this past month when we first started talking about this army. You remember when it broke at LVO 2020?
Sure.
Will there be new Kroxagors? Will the Kroxagors be Battleline or Battleline If? You know, I'd like to know if you could actually do an all Kroxagor army. I really would.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting any new models whatsoever. I think this is what you and I often refer to as a Band-Aid book.
Yeah, unfortunately. Which a very good one, though. A very good one.
A great one. But yeah, I don't think the Lizard... I mean, a lot of people like hate on the majority of the Lizardmen models. Like they keep saying, oh, they need to be updated. Really? I don't really think they do. I think they look fine. The Kroxagors, yes. The Slann, maybe, yes. But I don't think the entire product line needs a redo. I think the Source Warriors are great. Skinks are great. I mean, all the dinosaurs are cool looking. I mean, they just redid those not even 6-7 years ago when they redid Lizardmen. So I don't know. I just think that the army is fine as it is. It's a great Band-Aid book. You're going to get your War Scroll cards. You're going to get your, you know, your book, you know, and I think that Seraphon players will be perfectly happy with it if I were going to wrap up my thoughts on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. I mean, to me, you know, my oldest daughter played Lizardman and Seraphon now, and she always did very well with them. And I got to tell you, what I've always found is that this army, at least if it's going to still be the same way that I recall it, it's an easy army to pick up, but a very difficult army to master.
I agree.
You know, I guess the best way to put it is this would be the Gulf of Warhammer fan of Age of Sigmar, because it's an easy army to pick up and play with, but it's a very difficult army to master. But once you do that, you're going to be very, very difficult to beat on the table. Lizardman player, Seraphon player traditionally do very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of fighting like all Stegonons in an army, that's going to be a real pain in the ass to fight. I mean,
you know,
because they're all individual models.
They are all individual models. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting army to face.
Yeah, well, especially now that Stegodons can also have the engines of the gods mounted on them. I mean, are you kidding?
Yeah, you're going to see that's going to be a hugely popular army among Seraphon players.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh, of course.
You'll
of course.
See probably close to 10. Probably close to, I would say, anywhere between 8 to 10 Stegodons on the battlefield.
Depending on their points, I would agree with that. I mean, I know that sure. Warhammer community released an army build of only, I think they were using 7 Stegodons, I believe.
Yeah,
you could make these Stegodons, a hero if you want. You can put a skink, a star priest on top of them, and then you're off and running.
Oh, I love it. I just think it's going to be such a fun army to face. We need more variety. Like I said, we've got to get more variety in this game right now. We've got to get it to a point where when I go to a tournament, I'm not seeing the same, three armies always at the top of the food chain. Mm-hmm. I want to see some more armies, and I want to see more variety.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you want to know something that's funny, because even GW came out and they said that they were talking about how they're calling this a reinvention of the in-game concept regarding the Stegodons. And what they were saying was it's the concept about the maximum number of Stegodons in a Warhammer Age of Sigmar army. And it was funny to re-quote, I said this earlier on the show, but to quote GW, they said, "Get ready for 2,000 points of hell sent right from the heavens." That was actually listed somewhere. And you know, it's funny because they're basically saying that the Stegodon in your army can be built without having to take anything, without having to accumulate on your behemoth. You can take these things as battle line, a la the Stonehorn and Thunder Tusks, you know. So
yeah, fully intended for there to be an all dinosaur army.
Yeah, but you know what I find curious? Do you really think you're going to see a lot of that? Because all these people were going to come out. Like I was all fired up to play 6 Stonehorns, and I haven't. Do you really think you will see? Okay.
I definitely think you're going to see them. Yes, I think you're going to see all Stegodon armies, not only just in regular like war meets like we do, but I think you're going to see them in tournaments as well.
Yeah.
There's going to be a secret sauce to them. I guarantee it.
Okay. Yeah,
I think they're going to be fun. Like I said, anything new, I'm all for it.
Well, you know what? I think this one, and I'll stand behind what I said. I really think that this deliverable that GW is coming out with, I really think that this is, I think this is one of the better ones. I'll just put it that way.
Totally agree.
And I think that GW knows what they're doing. I think they finally got it right. Of course, they had to go through a few crazy armies to get there, but I think this one is going to be, very well done. So let's, so there's a lot to look forward to, folks, with this upcoming release. So don't forget to pre-order your Battle Tome this week. And if you'd like to hear more about our previous talk on the Seraphon, have a listen to our show from February 6th. We had a good discussion then too on this army, by the way, and that was coming right off of the announcement of this army at LVO 2020. That was a good one, wasn't it, Steve?
Oh yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I think you're going to start seeing more information come out every single day. I think there's another information drop tomorrow.
Good. Well, guys, get into this army. I think this is going to be definitely a good one.
It'll be a fun army.
Yeah.
And if you got a little kid, out there and, you know, you're trying to get them into the game, I think this would be a really fun army for a kid to start playing because kids love dinosaurs.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to go back to what I said before. Get them the Get Started box, even though it doesn't have a Stegodon in it, even with that damn Bastillodon. You know, get him that, or get him or her, sorry, get the new player that that Get Started box. You know, they Get Started boxes range anywhere between, 650 to 750 points or something like that?
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, they're usually about 600-700 points.
Yeah. So you pick up that, and, you know, you take the, you know, one of the second of the three sub-factions. Drawing a blank on that one right now. I mean, the Get Started box is actually pretty good. One Skink Star Seer, 12 Skinks, 3 Ripperdactyl Riders, or Razordons, I guess, and one Bastillodon. And you take that, and by the way, I think that's one of the better Get Started boxes, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah. I know that, like I said, they're coming out with some new starter boxes as well for like for Daughters of Cain. If you are a Daughters of Cain player,
right?
They have a great starter box that is coming out. They have the Cauldron of Blood and a box of Melusai are inside the starter box set. Now,
awesome.
Altogether, I believe that would come out to be somewhere like in the 140 range or 135, 140 range.
Okay.
And it's only selling for $90.
Yeah. Yeah. But going back to the Seraphon, get them to get started, get the brand new Get Started, which, by the way, I just found out that that I got my Chang yanked on the Stegodon Get Started box. I guess there's not really one. I was getting I was getting messed with, so you jag offs. But you know, hey, you know what? That still poses the question, why the hell isn't the Stegodon in the Get Started box? It meshes better with the Skinks. Any rate.
Because if you want to play an all dinosaur army, they're gonna make you pay for it.
Exactly. It's still a business. But take the Fangs of Sotek, you take that sub faction, you throw that on there, and you know what? A new player is gonna have a field day. And there you have it. And if they show up to one of the Grimdark Live war meets, we'll play down to their level. No problem. So, good stuff. That's Seraphon.
Hey, gang. I really hope you're enjoying the Grimdark Live show so far. Thanks for being with us. But before we get to the question of the day, I want to ask you to head over to GrimdarkLive.com to enter the Nerd Bunker by becoming a supporter of the show on Patreon. There are 6 different levels to fit the support you may be interested in, and all provide special benefits and services to our members. So please head over to GrimdarkLive.com and become a patron of the show. And while you're on GrimdarkLive.com, you should know that Grimdark Live isn't just there for entertainment. We're a full-time miniatures assembly and painting service. We have 3 different levels that we currently paint to, and we provide free quotes. So let us know if you have something you need painted, and we'll get it done for you. And if Patreon or painting isn't something you're ready to do at this time, we totally understand. And thank you for spending time with us here on Grimdark Live. So with that said, let's get to the question of the day.
Moving on. So here we are. I can't believe it. We're at that point of the show where we have the question of the day. Now, Steve, I know you've been out hanging around in some pretty sultry places. You were late to the show today. Are you ready for this question? Is your head clear? You kind of ready?
Yeah, my head's cleared.
All right. So here's the question of the day. Are movement tricks in armies getting out of hand?
Yes.
Okay, do tell.
It's getting to the point where older armies cannot keep up with some of these newer armies. I'll put it this way. In Gloops by Gitz, I have to cast a spell on a 7 to be able to move my stuff somewhere on the table. Other armies are now just doing it for free by simply taking a certain character. Ridiculous.
Right.
Now, granted, I understand that every army is going to have better tricks or different tricks than another army. But I think that some of these movement tricks are getting to the point where the army is so unpredictable that it's almost unfair to some of the armies that don't have that ability. Now, to the people who are benefiting from that, they're going to say, wah, wah, you know, get over it. Well, and that's what it is. You have to get over it. You have to find a way around it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the cusp of the game, right? You know, I mean,
yeah, that's it.
You have to find a way through it. Yeah, yeah, you have to do that because that's you got to play the game. I mean, regardless whether you like a rule or not, you got to play the game. But you know, it's funny. It's a relevant question though, right? I mean, you kind of look at and sure just is. Like you said with the cavernous differences in playability between some of the older armies and the new ones, it is a relevant question. I mean, if we look at if we look at it, there is a case to be made for asking, you know, are movement tricks in armies getting out of hand? And let's look at it. You ready for this? Let's do this. Even with the new Seraphon release here, Steve, the new summoning abilities in the Seraphon Dracothian's tail subfaction we just talked about, you know, where you're going to be able to basically put units anywhere on the table. Or how about the Skaven Gnawholes? Maybe one could even say that the Beasts of Chaos started it with all their ambush rules. Or how about this? Going back to the Idoneth Deepkin, in Battle Round 2, the Idoneth can either run or charge. And if you couple that with their turn 3 High Tide, you know, one would consider that to be movement tricks in armies that are getting out of hand. So I think that's a fair question, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and like if you look at the orcs, everyone kind of always was wary of orcs because they knew that they had that Hand of Gork. And then they gave it the goblins. You know, they gave it to the Gloomspite Gits with the spell. So everybody kind of was like, oh boy, you know, people are going to be able to pick up, you know, units of trolls and stick them on the other side of the battlefield, which no player would ever do because of the bravery. But
yeah, bravery
it's
sake,
just
right.
going. Yeah, I mean, the bravery's horrible. But the point is that these movement tricks are getting to the point where the game is becoming just it's becoming nearly impossible for an older army to keep up with. Now, they tamed Tzeentch with their little movement trick for the change host, which I thought was great. But the problem is that if this continues, and I know that GW's whole philosophy is, well, we don't want predictability in armies. You know, we want battles to be unpredictable. Okay, great. But if you're going to do that, then at least give access to all armies the ability to play a movement trick instead of just certain armies. It's like the summoning. You know, why is it certain armies are allowed to summon, you know, and get 1,000 extra points in their army throughout a game, but the other guy who's playing a Gloomspite Gits army or an Orc army, he doesn't get a damn thing.
Yeah, you know what? Let me cut in right here because you just tapped in a real nerve that I think can tie all this together. At least I hope. I'm going to try. You know, to this question, right? You know, to the question of the day here. You know, are movement tricks and armies getting out of hand? Coupled with your answer right now, my answer is this: looking back at Age of Sigmar 2.0, the very beginning, and one of the biggest changes, and I think there were like 9 changes back then. But one of the biggest changes of the 9 is the alteration of summoning rules where they didn't cost any reinforcement points anymore. Remember that?
Yep.
So summoning, in my book, is movement. And an army that has a mechanic built into it where they can summon entire units at no point cost. I literally just summed up death, I guess, the whole Death Grand Alliance. this has always been a tough one for me in that summoning was close to useless in the previous version. But here in 2.0, giving some armies free models can be a pretty slippery slope, kind of what Steve was saying. And I think it has been for the most part. And I think that's why this is also a very relevant question. But, you know, sometimes we got to – I mean, did I just cut you off there, Steve, or did you have something else to say?
No, I was just going to say you got to bite the bullet. Too bad, so sad. Figure out a way how to get around it or don't play the game. That's
you know what?
Bottom line.
Bingo. And you just literally took the words right out of my mouth, you know. But as far as the, you know, are the movement tricks in armies getting out of hand, you know, I'd like to hear, you know, what you all think. You know, maybe leave it in the comment section below. But ultimately, play the freaking game as written and find the fun in finding a way to prevail. If it is truly broken, I think for the good of the game and their business, GW will intervene with an FAQ. Or local tournaments will house rule, you know, overly pungent movement shenanigans. You know, I think there's ways that we can manage the game. But I think for the most part of the fun of the game, I attribute this to, and I know I'm getting a little off topic here, when people complain about the priority role, I particularly like it because it's a piece that I think when you had the old you go, I go. Now, I know, Steve, you and I have two different opinions on this, but you could almost overly anticipate and overly plan what you were going to do. And in some ways, yes, the game was over by the second round.
Yes.
With the priority role, man, how many games go all five rounds now? A lot of them.
God, it's crazy.
Yeah. So I like it, but you know what? A lot of people left Age of Sigmar because of that. So I just say this, play the game.
And to that, yeah, exactly. To that, I say, that's your choice. Anyone who is currently using and playing an army in Age of Sigmar right now, you have accepted the fact that you are going to have to deal with summoning. You are going to have to deal with movement tricks. You're going to have to deal with shooting. You're going to have to deal with crazy magic. My response, as you well know, has always been, suck it up, buttercup. You can complain about it all day. It's not going to change a thing. The game is still going to move on. So deal with it, move on, play your game, and enjoy.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I think that philosophy suits a lot of people, and I think that philosophy needs to kind of be spread out a little more, because that's going to kind of tie into the my closing thoughts here. Because it is my turn, right? It's my turn for the closing thoughts.
It is indeed.
All right, I'm taking these anyways. Even if it wasn't my turn, I'd have to take them.
Wow.
But I'm not getting there yet, because you know it's funny. Mike Lager, the guy behind Dragonfall, has a great line, you know, and regarding these people that leave the hobby. You know, he just basically says, "You will be missed." And
exactly,
you know, and that's all I can think of. I mean,
nobody,
you know,
cares.
Yeah, if you're just gonna fly the white flag and give up and collect your toys and go back to your own yard, you know what? Yeah, you will be missed. But yeah, so that's our two cents in a tin can here on whether or not movement tricks in armies are getting out of hand. And you know, I'd like to hear from all of you. You know, what are your thoughts on that? But with that, we're moving on to the closing thoughts here on Grimdark Live. So here goes, and I'm not going to get too preachy, but I want to plant a question into everyone's mind, including you too, Steve, including you too. So here goes.
Okay.
Here's the question I have. I guess this is my closing thought, but I'm going to formulate it in a question with a substatement. Are you self-disciplined in this hobby? Now, I've literally just heard 1,000 people start laughing. Now, I know it's fun to joke about how many models you have unbuilt, how many models are left unpainted, buying more armies before the last one has even been fully built, painted, and based. Or how about this? Are your shelves packed with boxes of plastic that used to be money? Now, there's a thought.
Hashtag
for you.
Patrick.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Randy, the nicest guy in tabletop wargaming that's literally got an island of GW in his house. But
Randy doesn't have shelves. He has a museum.
Exactly. Now, if you answered yes to any of that, you may have a lack of self-discipline towards this hobby. Are you consistently playing that one army to get good enough at it to compete at a high level where the mechanics of that army, the movement, the melee, the shooting, the abilities are all second nature? If you said no to that question, then you may have a lack of self-discipline towards this hobby. You know, is the term Warhammer ADD a term you brush off or a term you don't even want to be associated with? How you answer that will determine if you have a lack of self-discipline towards this hobby. You know, folks, we spend a lot of time on this hobby. We spend a lot of money on this hobby. Think about it. Going to tournaments, running the tournaments, buying plastic, buying paint, spending time away from our families, sometimes away from our friends, either gaming or building or painting or watching battle reports or listening to Grimdark Live, shameless plug. But without the self-discipline to see these little projects through, without the self-discipline to really know your army to win, is it all worth it? Is it really fun to you? Here's another question. Are you a tournament TO that expects the paying customers, those gamers at your event, for your tournament to have fully painted and based armies, usually with display boards, and you yourself can't garner enough self-discipline to even have a fully painted army yourself? Does the thought of self-discipline scare you? Do you even know what that is? I mean, self-discipline is the ability to control one's feelings and overcome one's weaknesses, the ability to pursue what one thinks is right despite temptations to abandon it. how often does your weakness cause you to abandon that once army you just had to have to pursue the next shiny plastic wrap box of Plastikrak? Did you dump an army because you lost a game with it, because you didn't play it enough? How you answer that will determine if you have a lack of self-discipline towards this hobby. If you think the term Plastikrak is soothing or cute, you have a huge lack of self-discipline towards this hobby. Do you think you can play just one army between general's handbooks? Aha. Think about that. Can you play just one army between general's handbook releases? How about just two armies between general's handbook releases, but no more than two? But those armies have to be built, painted, based, and known to you better than the recipe for ice cubes. Could you do that? Your answer to that will determine your level of self-discipline towards this hobby. I believe, personally, if you don't develop self-discipline, it causes loads of problems. And not just in this hobby. You know, it's going to cause a lot. I mean, if you think about without lack of discipline, you're going to have health problems, distractions, procrastination, financial problems, clutter, things piling up and overwhelming you, and generally causing misery. Any of that sound familiar? Or are these happening to you as a gamer in this hobby? It doesn't have to be, but it's a choice we all make as gamers. If you're miserable in this hobby, I bet it's a lack of self-discipline that's causing it. I'll choose self-discipline. It's hard, but it's worth it. How about you? That's my closing thought.
Well said.
That's it. And you know what? We're a little bit ahead of schedule, so I'm going to let everyone off early today. So, Steve, thanks for joining us tonight, man. It was good to have you back on the show. We were worried about you.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
folks,
I'm sure.
Please don't forget to let us know your thoughts on where you thought Steve was. And next week's show, we'll have a good discussion on that.
Don't encourage him.
And with that, that's a heck of a way to close the show. Another great show.
Grimdark Live, I'd like to thank you for slumming it through another show with us for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Age of Sigmar worlds. We'll be back live next Thursday, so until then, remember, roll them dice fun and fair, and don't be a frickin' short pants. If you missed the live show, you can catch us again right here on the next Grimdark Live podcast. Never fear, gang. There'll be more great content from Grimdark Live throughout the week with Monster Mondays, Table War Tuesdays, Warhammer Wednesdays, Grimdark Grudge Matches, and a ton more. So stay tuned and stay grim, all you dice chucking, glue sniffing gamer goons. You're all awesome.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Remember, embrace the main message here from Grimdark Live, and that's a social contract we have between gamers and the commitment we have to each other and this community. We're only as good as our last game. Check us out at GrimdarkLive.com. Don't forget to give our channel a like or subscribe if you haven't already done so. So long, Grimdark Goons. Until next time, may the dice gods bless you and your sweaty palms.